You're listening to Empire KVCR News. I'm Benjamin Perper. On most Fridays, we talk with former Press Enterprise columnist and longtime KVCR News contributor Cassie McDuff and review some of the big Inland Empire stories from the past week. We should note that we are doing this by phone to practice social distancing. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Ben.
So first off, some of the people who fought at a Yucaipa gas station in the midst of an anti-racism demonstration may face charges.
Right. Some people who were there really objected to these groups carrying weapons and went to the sheriff's department and the city officials and said, you know, hey, why weren't they charged? So now the captain of the sheriff's department, which actually polices Yucaipa, has said that three people will be charged with battery and one person will be charged with assault with a deadly weapon, that telescoping baton that we talked about, which, by the way, is an illegal weapon. He didn't apparently mention whether the person will be charged with possessing an illegal weapon. So this all happened on June 1st. When there was a protest related to all of the protests across the nation in the wake of the killing of George Floyd, demonstrated in Yucaipa on Yucaipa Boulevard, and a number of people who said they were business owners showed up with weapons to, they said, protect their businesses. And at a service station on Yucaipa Boulevard, a fight broke out between the protesters and these counter-protesters. So now those charges are going to be filed related to that fight.
And what about the Yucaipa councilman who was there?
Well, Bobby Duncan, he admitted that he went with a shotgun to protect a business. He said he sat outside of a bar for 4 hours with his shotgun. He said during a council meeting that the district attorney had told him that that kind of action was only illegal if you point the gun at someone and threaten them with it. But the district attorney said, no, that's not what we said, saying that Duncan's comments during that council meeting had caused concern for both the DA and some residents. So Duncan has now posted a new letter on the city's website correcting what he said and saying that although business owners may possess a firearm on their property, they cannot exhibit it or display it in a manner that would be menacing or to instill fear in another person. So those men who showed up armed outside of Yucaipa businesses and on rooftops with weapons were violating the law.
Next, the Riverside man accused of supplying weapons in the San Bernardino terrorist attack will not be allowed to withdraw his guilty plea.
Yes, Enrique Marquez Jr., who's 28 years old now, had asked to withdraw his guilty plea to providing material support to a terrorist in that attack. The federal government said he supplied the weapons to the December 2015 shooters, that husband and wife couple who killed 14 people and wounded 22 others at a holiday party for the San Bernardino County Division of Environmental Health, where one of the shooters had worked. Marquez had said that he had been depressed when he made that guilty plea and that he wasn't, in his right mind to make a logical decision. There was a 2-day hearing where psychiatrists who had interviewed him testified, and they did not support that he had been depressed. And the judge now has ruled that he did not meet the federal standard to withdraw his guilty plea. He now faces up to 25 years in prison when he is sentenced on August 17th.
And next, some good news. The state will not close the Barstow Veterans Home after all.
Right. That had been proposed as part of the state budget cutbacks because of the $54 billion deficit the state is now funding after all the closures for coronavirus reduced state revenue. So state lawmakers have now approved next year's budget, and it no longer includes that proposal to close the Barstow's veteran home. That would have required moving about 200 veterans who live there into other facilities, which are quite some distance away. The State Department of Veterans Affairs had said that facility is kind of out of the way out there in the high desert. It takes about 90 minutes to get to the nearest VA medical center. But there was a tremendous backlash to that. About 21,000 people signed a petition to keep it open, and it looks like that worked.
Oh, well, that's some good news. Lastly, an African-American community group in Riverside County is asking the Board of Supervisors to create a panel to review racial disparities in health and other areas.
Yeah, this comes at the same time that San Bernardino County had been approached about doing the same thing, and the Board of Supervisors has done that. They created a panel to look at economic disparities and health disparities in how African American people in the county are faring. Now, Riverside County has been asked to do the same thing by the Riverside NAACP and the Riverside County Black Chamber of Commerce. They wrote a letter asking the county to declare racism a public health crisis, the same as happened in San Bernardino County, and asked for swift action by the board to put together a task force. And so that will be on the next agenda when the Riverside County Board of Supervisors meets. These community groups pointed out that African American deaths from COVID-19 are almost 2 times greater per capita than that would be expected from their share of the population. In California, African Americans make up about 6% of the population, but 10% of COVID-19 deaths. In Riverside County, the figures are a little bit better. African Americans make up about 6% of the county's population, but account for 8% of the county's coronavirus deaths. So that will be considered when this proposal comes back to the Board of Supervisors at their next meeting.
Okay, we'll follow that when it happens. Thank you, Cassie.
Thank you, Ben.
Cassie McDuff is a longtime IE journalist. She helps us out regularly for our Friday morning news wrap. You can find these segments on our website at kvcrnews.org. This segment is made possible by the Southern California News Group, publisher of the Press Enterprise, San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and other Southern California newspapers. We should also note they have dropped their paywall for their coverage of the coronavirus pandemic.